Well, hey everybody, my name is Josh Erickson and I'm one of the pastors of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. And I want to say welcome to you and thank you for joining us for this online service whenever you might be engaging our time together. We are so grateful you've decided to spend some time with us and we hope our time together is a blessing to you. And this time we are going to continue the Inspired Project conversation that we started earlier in the summer of 2026, and we're going to continue and pick that up today. We are looking at a series of different things that we believe that if we have a better sense of how they connect in our faith and in our life, we'll be more inspired to live out our faith and help people to become part of God's dream come true. And so we hope this time, like all of our times we gather together, is a blessing to you and inspires you to take the next step on your faith journey. So I'm not really sure where this idea comes from, but I believe that for basically since people have existed and since people have believed in God, that for some reason we think that we can get God to do something, or in different cultures at different times that we could get the gods to do something. Now, what this has looked like in many iterations of human history is that you have to believe the right thing, say the right thing, make the right sacrifice, fight for the right army, to build the right thing, and then God will be appeased or God will be pleased. And when then God is pleased with you, God is going to shine. And then when God is pleased with you, God is going to rain down blessings on you. And when God is angry with you, God is going to send suffering upon you and going to destroy your life. Now, in modern day parlance, we call this the prosperity gospel, that God is going to make you prosper if you're good and make you suffer if you're bad. And unfortunately, this is a very common and very real thing that many people believe. Now, let's be honest, in the year 2026, for the most part, most people don't think that you can actually like weasel your way into getting God to do something through those kinds of things. But if you listen to the way that a lot of people pray, you will think that they are praying in such a way that they think they can convince God to act in a certain way. And this is just not true. Because the truth is, we can't get God to do anything God isn't going to already do. God's going to do what God's going to do because God is infinite, God is holy, and God is perfect. And God also gives us freedom. And we know that God does not cause suffering. And we know that God does not cause the rain to come on some and not others. And so when we mix prayer into all of this, what I think people think is prayer is maybe this one way that we can get God to do what we want. If we just pray the right way, if we just say the right things, if we pray long enough, if we write the most beautiful prayers, that God is going to be like, oh my goodness, thank you for that beautiful prayer. Now I'm going to do what you ask. I say this, and when you hear this, you probably think this sounds ridiculous. But also, don't we act this way sometimes? Don't we think this way sometimes? And then when we think this way and act this way, we actually are standing in contradiction to what Jesus taught about what prayer could and should and might be best be like for us. And since prayer is so important as a spiritual practice, we want to make sure that we understand how prayer works, how our relationship to God functions better when we understand how we are to be inspired in order to live and help God's dream come true. So if prayer can't be about getting God to do something, and if God isn't sort of impressed by the way we pray, or the length of prayers, or the fancy words we use, then what is prayer about? Fortunately, Jesus spent some time teaching about this, and we get a glimpse of what this looks like in the Gospel of Matthew. Now, the particular time in the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus is teaching about prayer, in Matthew, the author of Matthew puts it into the Sermon on the Mount. This is a compilation of Jesus's most famous teachings. I remember growing up being taught that the Sermon on the Mount, which is three different long chapters in Matthew, was, quote unquote, the sermon that Jesus gave when he was on the Mount of Galilee. And he gave this whole sermon all at once. And like that would have been a really long sermon if Jesus had taught all those things, because also like, right, we know that the Gospels are probably the shorter version of all these things too. So could you imagine the actual longer version of any of these things in real life? But anyways, I digress. However, Jesus did teach about this. Now, his first warning that he gives to people is that he says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who go out and pray in public places and on the street corners in order to get attention. And he said, furthermore, if you are praying, you should go into a private place and don't worry about what you're going to say. Just bring your true self, bring that to God. Now, I need to pause right here and say there is a very important word for religious leaders, and that's me and others, about what prayer is really about. I know that I pray in public and we pray together as a church, but I also know that I'm not trying to pray in a way that is really impressing anybody or trying to get God to do something, but rather the prayer functions in how Jesus is hoping prayer would function for us. Now, fortunately, there are a lot of times in Scripture where we hear, don't do this, but we don't get an example of what to do. But this is not one of those times. When Jesus says, don't pray in this way, Jesus then says, rather pray in this way. And the way he teaches to pray is what we know as the Lord's Prayer. Now, the Lord's Prayer is very famous, but I'm going to make sure we got it all together. It's our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now the prayer version then says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, you could hear that I use the thys and the theys and the these and the those because I'm a person of a certain age, an older millennial, and that's how it was taught when we were growing up. But what we hear in there is a very clear understanding of how we are to relate to God and what our prayer is supposed to be about. Because it's not about getting God to do what we want. It's about us getting aligned to what God wants for us. I'm going to share that prayer in just a little bit of a different way so that we can hear it in more modern language, just so we get our heads around it. So that's the traditional way of hearing it, but here's a little stripped down version of it for us. So it sounds a little bit more like, God who's in heaven, the one who raises like a child, blessed is your name, and we want your dream to come true, not ours. Please help your will to be the one that's done and not ours. Help us to be content with what we have and not want more. And help us to understand that you are going to forgive us just like we have forgiven others. And please don't lead us into times where we are suffering, and protect us from the evil one. Now, that's a plain rendering of some of those same very things that are in the more fancy version. Well, what it says is that we are to pray so that we align to God's will and to God's dream come true. When we pray to be aligned to God's dream, where everybody's free and everybody has what they need and everybody experiences salvation both here and forever, when we are aligned to God's will, then we live in a way where we live into the freedom that God has given to us as a gift. We show God that we actually recognize that we are free people, but in response to the freedom and the grace God has given to us, we live according to God's will and not our own will. And we choose this. We choose this because this is what it means to be showing God that we understand that we are loved by God. And when we pray this way, we are not trying to get God to do what we want. It shows that we respect God for being a God of infinite love and holiness and perfection and eternal nature, instead of thinking about God as some like cosmic butler or divine guidance counselor, or like a magic eight ball where we just shake it up and try to get what we want, or like some AI where we can just tell it what to tell us what we want to hear or give us a good old digital pat on the back. That's not anything like how real prayer is. Real prayer is being honest that God is loving us and leading us, and that God wants us to seek for God's will to be done and not ours. Prayer is a really important spiritual practice when we use it how God hopes we will. Now, as I've shared before at different times and places, and as many people know, one of my favorite things to do is to be a baseball coach, and I am fortunate to be one of the coaches on one of my son's teams. And as a coach, we do a lot of practice. And specifically, some of the other coaches that know more than I do are constantly teaching the skills and the fundamentals. And I reinforce some of this too, but I'm like low man on the coaching totem pole. So when we see them do it right, we get super excited. And in practice, when they do it right, we get excited. And then the games, when they do it right the first time and they see the success, we get super excited and they get excited because the practice matters. And the more they do it correctly, the more they're going to want to do it in the game. And the more they succeed in the game, the more they're going to want to keep doing it. And then eventually, if you do enough right things, then you win, often or hopefully. And I think that, to me, is a really good example of how prayer actually works too. When we pray in the way that God is coaching us or teaching us, or as Jesus gave us an example, it helps us to better understand how to do things how God wants us to do. It's not about us telling God as our coach, hey coach, I'm gonna do it this way, because when we go rogue like that, we almost always fail. But when we're aligned through prayer, when we're aligned through the spiritual practice, we actually do what God wants. And when we do that, we are more inspired to live that way the next time. And we're more inspiring to others to do what God wants of them as well. So when we pray, let's pray that we are helping ourselves become more aligned to God. That's the way God wants us to pray. So as we always do, we're going to close in prayer. But of course, we should close in prayer on the day we're talking about prayer. So let's pray. God, we are grateful that you are guiding us and leading us. And we're grateful that your son Jesus taught us how to pray. And God, help us to put that into action, both when we pray together, when we pray on our own. And God, when we don't know what to pray, may those words that Jesus taught us, that we call the Lord's Prayer, guide us in our prayer and in our lives. God, we ask that your dream become our dreams, so our actions reflect your actions. God, we ask that your will become our will, so that your will is done and not our human, broken, fallen will. And God, we know that you are guiding us and leading us, but we also know we are free. And God, as free people, help us to choose what is right and what is good, so that your dream comes true more and more. God, we pray all this in your name. Amen.